This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D here on The Fan. Toby Altizer in for Jeeps. We are hanging out. Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor. Come hang with us. March matchups are here. No better place to catch every game with us than Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. Join 106.7 The Fan's B. Mitch and Finley. You can't really do that anymore. I mean, they're here. They're hanging out. So I guess you could do that.
Yeah, I still see B. Mitch, and still
Mitch
see Finley.
Here. JB's around. JB looks like he's about to go play golf. Like, this is a full golf attire except for golf cleats.
Yeah, big time. Well, those might even be golf shoes, to be honest.
We should find that out, and we'll confirm and get back to you. They look golfish, actually, now that I
mention
it. Where it's like your shoes that you wear before you play golf, or if you're hitting off like a flat surface, you don't want the golf cleats on there?
I have some spikeless Jordan golf shoes.
There you go.
JP's always going to be rocking his J's.
Maybe he has those, too. Anyway, come see us. Hang out. Grant Nanny here, but Tobes is in. Opening round of the men's tourney. We're doing our shows live at Tap with Mouthwater and Game Day Bites. Tons of TVs. Your tournament headquarters is waiting only at MGM National Harbor. Tobes has rocked the wings. I just had a Caesar. Again, I'm not bragging about eating a salad.
Sure.
I feel like when you eat a salad, it's like you have to tell everyone that you do that. It's like if you're a vegetarian,
everyone has to know that you're a vegetarian. Yeah, yeah.
Or they have to know about your workout. Or they have to know that you play pickleball, and your name's Danny, and you love pickleball. I get that. Also, I want to tell you guys, they're Washington. They're preparing their offseason to protect their star QB. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? It's an exclusive sponsor of our show. The law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So it's a lot of college basketball today. Understandable, right? We're college hoops heavy. Not necessarily breaking down Colorado State and Memphis as it's going on, but just kind of the big picture of college hoops. So because this is such a big tourney day and it's so fun, I wanted to ask you guys, go back down memory lane a little bit. 800-636-1067. Be interested to see kind of cross generations. I want your favorite tournament upset of all time. The first one that jumps into your mind. The first one you think of. Right? It could be, you know, it could be your first one that you experienced, could be your favorite one. Just something that jumps out at you over the years. Because at the end of the day, the fact that even the overdogs, even the great teams, still face this one and done terrifying thing where anybody, anytime, anywhere can get you, right? I mean, it's a time-honored thing. The mid-major that nobody's heard of that everyone falls in love with. The Florida Gulf Coast beat Georgetown, rather, right? Weber State beating North Carolina in 1999. I mean, there's a million and one of these things. So which one for you stands out? Locally, I'd imagine we have some George Mason alums.
Oh, big time.
Them beating UConn. That could be your favorite run. We'll go into that too a little bit as well. Just some of your favorite memories from the tournament. But give me your favorite upset of all time. Tobe, start with you. Give me your one seed.
So I'm not going to say this because I don't want to be petty, Danny. I don't want to do it. I'm a hokey guy. So I'm definitely not going to mention UVA going down in the first round as a one seed. I'm not going to mention that.
Don't mention that.
I won't mention it. I will mention my favorite one was in 2015. I remember I was still in high school at the time. We had a little computer lab like you were talking about yesterday.
Sure, yeah.
It was after school, though, so we were sneaking away to watch some college hoops. And Georgia State gets the ball. They're down by two, and R.J. Hunter knocks one down from like two steps behind the three-point line. His dad was hobbled with something on his leg. I can't remember what he was dealing with, some injury. He falls off his stool, and they end up beating Baylor by one, 57 to 56. One of my favorite tournament games of all time.
So this one's cheating a little bit, okay? Because it's not as big an upset as maybe some of these other games over the years. Quick shout-out, though, by the way, to the Richmond Spiders from back in the day. The first 15 seed to down a 2 seed when they beat Syracuse. And that was at the time that little Fanny Mouye, little teeny-tiny Randy Duye, who had just gone from bowl cut to flat top. It was a big year for me. Bowl cut to flat top, a transition.
When are we going back to that?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of do it now. I mean, it's like a little bit of a fade. I don't really know what to say to the barber. But this is one of those deals where my mom, back in the day, used to use an actual bowl. And finally, like, it was bad enough that my dad's like, you can't touch that child's hair anymore. So, like, you know, you just kind of get it trimmed. And I had this, like, long hair. And finally, I was like, enough of this. It looks stupid. And I went to Hair Quarters in McLean.
Okay.
Shout out to Ken, who ran that spot. And then I want something different. And he's like, well, boys are coming in here. Let them get flat tops. My neighbor and best buddy at the time, Casey Kite, he had a flat top. I said, okay, give me what Casey gets. So they you take off all of it on the sides, a little bit on the top, get your little pomade, spike that son of a gun, and you go. That's what I was doing, right? That's when Richmond beat Syracuse, and I hated Syracuse at that point because they were a rival to Georgetown. And to me, if you were against Georgetown, you were against me. I loved Georgetown at that point. They'd given me so many great memories. So that's the first one, the shout-out. The upset that did the most for me, and I didn't know that I had any plans on going there. It wasn't on my radar at all. But you're going up in the D.C. area. You know Georgetown. You know Maryland. And there was kind of that dividing line. Like, who are you in favor? Because both programs were elite. They were excellent. Georgetown had just finished their run of national championships. Maryland had been so good for so long, but knocking on the door in the ACC, couldn't break through at that point because Carolina was always great. Duke was always great. And, you know, somebody else would jump up and be really good. Well, there are other schools in the D.C. area. Before George Mason was George Mason, right? Before American University, had some success, I'd never really heard of this school. The George Washington University, Tobes.
Okay.
This was foreshadowing. They were 12 seed. Be honest with you, they probably shouldn't have been in the tournament that year. They'd had some injuries and weren't particularly good. They lost in the first round of the A-10 conference tournament. They finished second in the regular season with Coach Mike Jarvis and company. And that was good enough to put them into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. This New Mexico team they played in the first round as a 5 seed was really, really good. GW kind of walking wounded. Nobody was really sure how good they were going to be in this tournament. Was awesome. They beat New Mexico by 14 points. And so I'm sitting there going, well, I've never heard of this school before, really. Like, obviously, heard the name, but like, I didn't have much cause to go to Foggy Bottom at that point in my life. You're driven by the State Department a million times over, but you didn't know that there was a school right there in Foggy Bottom. Well, it didn't have any cachet, didn't really have any juice. It was a lot of international students at that point. You didn't really know much about it. They win that game, and you're going, wait, where are they from? Oh, my God, that's 2 miles from where I go to high school. How cool is that? And so then I began to kind of follow that team. I'd start, this is pre-internet, so now I'm going back and scrambling on microfiche in the library during my free period, finding articles about Vaughn Jones and Dirk Searles and Yinka Dare, rest in peace, 7-footer. They were a really good basketball team that kind of got put together. They won their first round game against New Mexico. They beat Southern, another team that had pulled an upset in their first round. So they'd beat a 5 seed and a 13 seed, and they had to face a number 1 seed. Michigan Wolverines.
Ooh.
You might remember some of those players on that roster.
Yeah.
You might remember a Chris Webber. You might remember a Jalen Rose, a Jimmy King, a Ray Jackson. You might remember Juwan Howard. All sophomores at this point, right? So they'd come off getting to the national final in their freshman year, and they were right back at it in the sophomore year of that Fab Five that, again, were now growing in experience. And they were so good. I'm telling you guys, it sounds like the old man who coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? You've heard it before. GW had them on the ropes. They were reeling. It was a tight game throughout. Michigan pulled away. Maybe the better team. Not saying they weren't. But that day, little GW put themselves on the map. They were fighting tooth and nail with a Michigan Wolverines team that, of course, would go to the national final. We know the story, so on and so forth.
Timeout, what?
Now, I think that was timeout year. But GW upsetting New Mexico kind of put them on the map for me and I think a lot of people. Their enrollment went up after that. The applications went up. It kind of started this thing where the school went from and also ran kind of like if you didn't get – like literally their application process used to be – you wanted to live in D.C., you applied to Georgetown, you didn't get in, well, let's try AU and GW. That's literally what the clientele was.
Yeah.
And that sort of changed things. They had their own identity after that. And it got to be the point that it was almost routine for them to be a top 25 caliber team with Shante Rogers in years after and Alexander Kuhl and Yegor Masharikov and Mike King. It was a blast how good they were for a handful of seasons. They haven't really got back to that level of success since. But pretty incredible, that game. So that's my favorite tournament upset. What's yours? 800-636-1067. Let's start line one, old-fashioned way. Doug in Virginia, what's your one seed of tourney upsets?
Oh, I didn't realize you were asking for a one seed. I was going to say UMBC versus UVA a couple years ago. Not just because I'm a UVA hater, but because it was pure basketball.
Yeah.
It was pure basketball back in the day when a great reminder that anything can happen. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy.
And the crazy part about that one is UMBC didn't just squeak by. They dominated that game.
Dude, they
won
rolled
by 20.
Yeah, they were the better team. And it wasn't like one of those fluky things because they got hot from three. They were better the whole time.
Well, and also that one set up an incredible storyline where the next year Tony Bennett gets his team rolling. They win the national championship the following
year.
With
the same group, basically,
It's just so crazy to see what happened. But they were always prone to that under Tony Bennett, right? Because they didn't score a lot of points. But if they could, you know, if a team could stick around a little bit, it was always a close game with them. And it was just crazy to see UMBC that day just be the better team by far over UVA.
And I remember the scalding takes, and I offered one. The following day, I think we may have been doing the show from here. I said some things that, thank goodness, those tapes weren't available the following season.
Yeah.
But I said, this is the point. This is a double-edged sword. It's how you compete in the ACC every night. Now, this is, Toby, this is time before time. The ACC is what was known as good at basketball.
Okay. Sure.
So it's a little different than now.
So not like Clemson this year or Louisville?
No, or like pretty much anybody, actually, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe Duke. Maybe Duke.
Well, Duke's really good. I think they have a great chance to win the Natty. But you see the point of the Duke story. It used to be up and down. It was a war.
Yeah.
The ACC every night. There were no off nights. There was no place you could go that wasn't going to be electric. Everyone from Maryland to NC State to Florida State had teams over the years. I mean, you know, UVA was awesome and like couldn't do better than seventh for a handful of seasons with guys like Curtis Staples and Harold Dean and Junior Burrow and Norman Nolan. I mean, I could go all day. So, yeah, that's when it was great. And UVA, if you wanted to compete, you kind of had to do something. You had to do a gimmick. You had to do something different.
Yeah.
You can't try to out-Duke Duke. You can't try to out-UNC UNC. So they did something kind of the opposite. You played this pack line four, walk it up, pace type deal, or slow pace type deal, meaning that a team couldn't blow you out, but everybody was going to be in the game against you. And that was always the risk that you ran. Let's go to line two, Ruben in VA, who I believe is for Scuba. Ruben, your favorite tournament upset?
Hey, guys, great show. Thank you for your time. My greatest upset was George Mason in 06. That was my freshman year at Mason. I know they were 11th seed.
Oh,
they might have, I believe they cracked the top 25 that year. And they played Michigan State first, took them out, played UNC, which was my college basketball team growing up. Mm-hmm. They beat them, then Wichita State, and then number one ranked Connecticut in the Elite Eight. Got to the Final Four and lost to Florida after a tough game. And it was, I know when I first started, it was a commuter school, and that's the main reason I, you know, because I'm local to that area. So, but after that tournament run, that Cinderella story, it blew up tenfold, exponentially. It's crazy now what difference it made. But thank you for your time.
No, thank you, brother. Yeah, I can't imagine being a freshman.
I mean, just incredible. You're like, is this how it always is?
Yeah, you know,
like,
I didn't know.
This is going to be awesome. Yeah, I mean, not to make you feel old, Danny, but I was, I've been 8 at the time when they went on their run.
That's fun. That's really neat.
Not to try to make you feel old, but
no,
I don't really remember the details of the run, but I remember local news and everything, Jim Larrañaga, the celebrity, everything. It was such a fun run. I didn't fully understand everything at the time like I do now, but, yeah, it was an awesome run. I don't remember it distinctly, but I remember the bits and pieces of it, and I loved it too.
They beat the bluest of the Blue Bloods, dude. If they'd somehow matched up and beaten Duke, that would have been kind of the who's who. But Michigan State, basketball royalty. North Carolina, basketball royalty. Connecticut, as good as any program. They probably don't get enough credit for how good they've been, to be honest with you. The number one overall seed, I think, in the tournament that year. Wichita State, who was pretty terrific, kind of started their run of being one of those, kind of like the new Gonzaga, that mid-major that always was nasty. But they couldn't lose. It was stunning, in fact, when Florida finally, you know, the glass slipper didn't fit anymore. Right, because that Florida team was excellent. They were great, and Mason couldn't really run with them. And you go, oh, yeah, that's what it's supposed to look like when George Mason, with all due respect to those guys, plays a top-seeded team. It ain't supposed to look like 86-84 against UConn, but that run was amazing. The whole area was beyond a buzz with it. People were so overjoyed. It was so fun. Let's go to line three. T-Bone in Sterling, your best upset, your favorite upset.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Danny. How are you doing?
Good, pal.
First off, I'm a GW alum. I didn't realize you were in the Hall of Fame. I now put you on a pedestal, my good man.
Oh, thank you for taking the prompt to bring that up unsolicited. Your $5 Venmo is in the mail.
Thank you. Also, the George Mason run, GW was ranked fourth at one point by USA. Made the tournament, probably the best team they ever had. They lost in the second round to Duke because they could make a shot. But
Pops was hurt, hurt their seating. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite Cinderella, I think probably the best, is the 1983 NC State overcame the Houston Cougars, which lovingly were known as Phi Slamma-Jamma back in that year. Clyde Drexler, Akeem Olajuwon. It was a 54-52 upset. NC State was ranked 6, Houston ranked 1, or seeded. Sidney Lowe, Derek Wittenberg were dropping three-pointers 12, 15 feet beyond the arc. And then the last shot, Sidney Lowe came up short to the rim. Lorenzo Charles got the rebound, slammed it for the win. Then you got Jim Valvano running all over the court trying to find someone to hug. I mean,
no one knew what to do.
Yeah, that was just an amazing Cinderella win. I think
it was phenomenal. Yeah, trip memory lane there. It's one of the first sports memories I had. I didn't understand the magnitude of it, but in retrospect, of course, you know that how big a deal Clyde Drexler was, how big a deal Akeem was, et cetera. That NC State team wasn't good for most of the year. They ended up having, I think it was Sidney Lowe who was hurt, then ended up coming back, but they played that starting five the whole time. Thurl Bailey and Derek Wittenberg were so terrific in that game and on that run. But, yeah, that was kind of your original gangster. My favorite is, so the dunk happens. Yeah, I know you've seen the highlight tubs a million times. So the dunk happens, and this is before they would stop the clock on a made basket in the last minute or whatever. And so he dunks it, and it's 2-1, game's over, and everybody's kind of looking around. No one knows what to do. You just won the natty, dude. It's a celebration. But, yeah, that was super fun.
I mean, he brings up NC State. How about NC State last year? Remember, they had to go run in the ACC tournament. You get a guy like DJ Burns. And that's why we love March Madness.
That's right.
DJ Burns isn't playing in the NBA. I think he's playing somewhere in Europe or something.
Yeah.
But he's someone that everyone's going to love for a long time. He was such a lovable guy, fun to watch.
That team went to the Final Four last year.
Went to the Final Four.
The parallels wrote themselves.
They had to win the ACC tournament, and they did it, and then they went to the Final Four. Just insane.
That is nuts. 800-636-1067. Favorite tournament upset over the years? There's still so many that we could pick from, whether it was Bryce Drew beaten, I think it was Mississippi State for Valparaiso on that great long-distance play. There have been a billion, the 15s over 2s, the 13s over 4s, the 14s over 3s. I mean, nobody's mentioned Ali Farouk-Manesh from Northern Iowa just yet, beating Kansas. So many to choose from. Give me your favorite tournament upset, 800-636-1067. There's something about it, Tobes. I gyrate a little bit. Not when Darius plays this on a Tuesday, but it's like that Friday, decent weather, I'm watching the tourney, that kind of vibe. I get a little bit antsy in the pants.
Oh, big time.
You know what I'm saying?
A little Friday vibes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like, oh, I'm sorry about Levels by Avicii.
Oh,
welcome
yeah.
back to the radio program. That's Toby Altars. I'm Danny Ruggier. This is Grant and Danny. Right, chow on the Fan. Tournament hot and heavy. It's happening right now, my friend, right before our very eyes. We're hanging out at Tap Sports Bar here at MGM at National Harbor. I see beers flowing. People are drinking adult beverages right
really?
Now. Yes. Yes.
I might have to leave, Danny.
We're going to be fine. I've seen people drinking alcohol. They're here. They're consuming alcohol. It's supervised. It's safe. They're all of legal age, etc. This place rules. It's awesome. I've already had a salad. Again, I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you that I've had it. I'm going to have something that's less
healthy. How many more times are you going to mention that you had a salad?
Seven or eight. And this is true. I learned this once. Our boss taught me this. That the average listener has to hear, or you have to play something or do something 13 times for the average listener to hear it once.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
So that's why the dumb pop station plays the same three Taylor Swift songs and Dua Lipa and whatever,
sure.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's why we kind of have to major in topics that we think that most people want to listen to and hear. So if somebody tells you, like, dude, hey, we're tired of that, it means that we're doing a good job, honestly, to a degree. You got to find new and creative ways to get some of the big stuff out there, right? Anyway, the point of the dude's story is I'm trying to get it 13 times on the radio so that my wife hears it once. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, makes sense.
I want her to know that I ate a salad. Now, I'm not going to talk about the next thing that I eat as much, but I had a salad.
Yeah, I mean, we're proud of you. I had some wings already, but that doesn't need to be out there. But you eating a salad for sure needs to be out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not like
a great choice.
It's not like I'm going to tweet it at Funny Danny in a moment. 800-636-1067. Duke is underway against the Mount. God bless the Mount, but this may be the end of the road for them. Duke is duking. They look phenomenal. They look like a true natty contender against the 16 seed. Colorado State just took a nice lead of 4 points after some transition buckets over Memphis. Penny Hardaway coaches at Memphis. By the way, that's one of those, you want to feel old at all? I remember Penny Hardaway's whole career from beginning to end, beginning when it used to be Memphis State. He was a badass. He was a baller. We were robbed of so many years of greatness of Anthony Hardaway. That guy was incredible. We know the injury story with him. That was such a bummer, man. But he's now back coaching at Memphis State. They're down 4 to Colorado State. More tourney action to come. Maryland tips off later in the afternoon, et cetera. We're going through some great memories now. Give me your favorite tournament upset at any point in time from back in the day. It could be your first one that you remember. It could be the most impactful to you, et cetera. There have been bigger upsets, but for me, it was GW beating New Mexico. I didn't really know much about GW. To be honest with you, I didn't know I was going to go there. I know, the head coach that recruited me wasn't even there at that point. It was not on my radar. And that run where they had Michigan dead to rights, I would say, that Fab Five in their second year of on their way to a national final where they lost to UNC, that game was riveting. It became something that the whole region was rooting for, kind of the adopted sons. So that meant the most to me. Yours was?
Georgia State beating Baylor with R.J. Hunter knocking down the deep three, his dad falling off the stool on the side of the court.
The stool is great.
All that stuff was great. One of my favorite college hoops memories.
Let's go to line 4. Adam in Gaithersburg, your favorite tourney upset of all time.
Okay, let me set the scene here real quick. Thank you for having me on, first of all.
Yeah, buddy.
1997. I'm in 10th grade, and my parents bought me tickets to go see it, and I got to miss school to go to the game. And it's 8 number 15. Everybody in that building.
Yep.
Yeah. I knew everybody in that building. I knew everybody in that building picked South Carolina, but there was not a soul in that place that wasn't rooting for Coppin State by the end.
Coppin State, dude. Coppin State beating South Carolina. I appreciate the phone call. We beat Coppin State once 30-1. During my time, they were not the best baseball program,
close game.
I would say. And we almost were like felt bad. Like, I don't know if we should count these stats. They did because they filled out a team and came
they
down.
Were good stats.
Yeah, I was like, I got 4 hits. All right, I'm keeping these. But it made up for my like 0-for-6 day against George Mason.
Sure, of course.
We beat George Mason in a game. I'm making this about myself here. We beat George Mason 26-21 in a game my freshman year. Everybody had at least 2 hits except for me. I went 0-for-5.
That's tough.
And I'm like, this sucks.
You and the pitchers didn't have a good day.
Yeah, like I lined out twice and a couple lazy fly balls. And I'm like, this is bull crap, you know? And everyone else is like, what a great day to play. I'm like, shut up, you know? Anyway. Oh, but that was a great one. Coppin State, I think that was the second or third team ever to do that. Talking about the 15 seed beating the 2. 800-636-1067. Give me Paul in Gaithersburg. Gaithersburg, we're playing big in Gaithersburg today, Tubbs.
Hey, guys.
Paul, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Paul?
I'm going to go with number 2, Kansas, who had 4 first-round draft picks the next year, getting upset by number 15, Bucknell. Bucknell was led by one of the players that I actually coached in high school. He was the player of the year in the Patriot League. And he is now the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets.
Is that right?
Yep.
How about that? That's a good one. Appreciate that. So I think, I'm looking this up, I think that was actually a 14-3 game, but the point stands. It was a major upset, obviously. 64-63 over Kansas. Yeah, Bucknell was a 14 seed in that one. I hadn't thought about that game in forever. Let's go to line 7, Lance in Elkridge. Give me your favorite tourney upset of all time.
Yeah, so thank you for accepting the call. I'm only going to say this once. So this was DePaul with the Terry Cummings, Mark Aguirre, coached by Ray Meyer, going against St. Joe's. So it was a little school from Philadelphia going against the monster from Chicago.
I know him well.
I was there in person. A friend got me a ticket to it. And the crowd, if they weren't from Chicago, they were with St. Joe's, and it was so close the whole game. And you could just feel the tension build. And ended up winning the game on a driving down the full length of the court, and nobody for DePaul was able to stop them. And they put in the shot to end the game and win it. It was just incredible.
So what were the numbers of seeds there? Do you remember?
Well, so this was Dayton, so it was about 12,500. You know, this is before they did the play-in games.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. No, I appreciate the phone call. I couldn't remember what seed they were because this is a little bit before my time, but those were a couple NBA legends that played them at the DePaul team that got upset.
One of my favorites that I forgot about, just randomly came to my mind, Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast.
15 over
first
2.
First 15 seed to go to the Sweet 16. They beat Georgetown, unfortunately, in the first round. They won by 10, and then they beat 7 seed San Diego State to get to the Sweet 16. Remember Andy Enfield, he kind of parlayed that into the USC job.
Yep.
That was a fun team to watch. I love when you get a team, too. It's like we talked about with UMBC. They dominated. They were the better team. This one was fun because they were a fun brand of basketball. It wasn't this team that they had to upset you by slowing it down and winning 45-44. Like, they were getting up and down the floor and competing with the big boys.
Well, you played, for example, I think back to my meager high school basketball times, right? When you played St. John's, they were going to run flex cuts. They were flex cutting you until you were blue in the face, until you lapsed once, and they would get a layup. They would run that crap for 40 minutes, or I guess they're all 32 minutes because you play 8-minute quarters. But they would just run it and run it and run it, and you knew what you were getting. When you played, the math was different. Morgan Wooten would just point at me, and the guy would kick my butt. But you had kind of a brand identity. The point I'm going with this is, if you were to describe Florida Gulf Coast offense, what was it?
Lobs.
Dunk and lobs.
it was like the LA Clippers with Chris Paul.
With Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin. They were hunting to dunk it on your bleeping forehead. That's all they wanted to do, and it was awesome. It was such a blast. That's a good one. Line 2, Charlie in Arlington has one for us. Charlie, what do you got?
Yeah, this is not a Cinderella, and you got to consider the source. I'm a Carolina guy. But in 93, Duke's been 5 straight Final Fours. They're coming off 2 natties in a row. And Jason Kidd introduces himself to the world by just eviscerating them and knocking them out of the tournament. Just love to see that. Love to see Coach K brought down a notch. And that's my favorite upset for the tournament.
So that Cal team was good, though, weren't they? Like, I think that Cal team was good. I mean, the reason I was actually really familiar with it, because speaking of my high school, I was in 8th grade when a dude named Anwar McQueen was all met from St. Albans for a team that finished 2nd in the area. Like, they went to DeMatha and beat DeMatha at DeMatha, mind you.
Wow.
St. Albans did that. That team was great. Brian Bobo played at Catholic. and a couple guys that were really good athletes for, in other sports, including a guy that I believe played in the NFL later on in his career, Jeremy Akers. But Anwar was incredible as player of the year, and he at the Gonzaga, not the, at the Capitol Showcase, DC Capitol Showcase, at then I guess it was MCI Center, Verizon Center, I don't know, whatever it was, dominated and got an offer ultimately from Cal to play for Todd Bozeman. And so he goes out there to Cal, him and a dude named Randy Duck. It was the backcourt, and War was going to be the guy until they found, they landed on some guy. What was his name? Oh, yeah, Jason Kidd. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm rooting for my guy, my hero at this point, Anwar McQueen, who was, again, just a terrific player. But I mean, Jason Kidd, dude. You know? So he ended up coming off the bench a bunch instead of you know, the starting role that he kind of earned previously, et cetera. But that's a great one. Pull there, Cal over Duke. That is always welcome, whether it's Lehigh over Duke, whether it's anybody over Duke, that's always good. Line three, Sean in Fairfax, last word on this, your favorite tournament upset of all time.
Danny, I need your feedback, though, on your salad. Their salads are not created equally. So is this like a mixed greens with oil and vinegar, or what exactly are you dealing with?
No, it's a Caesar salad. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, it's not even that good for you. Because there's croutons in there to make it palatable. I did bacon as my meat in the Caesar. Some people did salmon, and I'm like, I eat enough salmon as it is. I think salmon just kind of, I'm annoyed by it. Chicken is just so pedestrian unless it's fried or in wing form. So I kind of went, I went bacon there. So I had a bacon Caesar dressing, a bacon Caesar salad. Pretty good.
That's solid, solid.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hampton 2001 over Iowa State. For a DMV reference, Tommy Adams, who was an All-American soccer player at Hilton High School, yep. I think he retired as the MEAC all-time three-point leader. I don't know if that still stands to this day. But if you look back and actually watching the national broadcast, it was actually the first time that I think white people had seen a historically black college band, and they were loving and enjoying the HBCU Hampton band. And so it was like a great celebration of sport and competition. It was great.
Yeah, so I appreciate the call. That Iowa State team, if memory serves, was really good. Larry Eustace back in the day, pre-Troubles, if that's a kind way to say it. But they were nasty and ended up getting upset. I think that was a 15-2 game as well, maybe 14-3. But I remember that team was really, really good. I want to say that was a Marcus Fizer-led team, but I may be pulling it out of my tuchus. Appreciate the phone calls on that. That's fun. Speaking of fun, I want you to have fun at Nationals opening day. This is your last chance, people. This is your last chance to win those tickets. We'll do that at 4 p.m. when we do our little Beltway Blitz situation, all right? The other thing we're going to do next, though, it's Friday. Okay, cue Rebecca Black. It's Friday. It's 3:45. We're going to win off the field. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for Darius. You can do it for Anthony if you want to. I wouldn't personally. I wouldn't choose to do it
never,
for him.
Never
you,
for
you
Anthony.
You can do it for Tobes. Don't do it for Corporate Clary. He has enough. You do it for Bruce. You do it because this thing was organized by Bruce Allen because he was an innovator and he was a genius, I tell you. A genius. 800-636-1067. How are you winning off the field? And they remain there. If you were curious as to what to do with your hands, once they go up, they stay there.
They stay there.
Some people put them back right down. There. Not us. Not up in here. Not up in here. Grant Nanny here on the Fan. Tobes in for GP. 800-636-1067. It's time to win off the field. We'll do this together. We'll collaborate on this. We involve you guys as well. Something teeny, tiny, small, insignificant going on in your lives that has nothing to do with real big-time success. Right? It's the small things. We're going to celebrate those little things here on G&D. The reason we do this is because Bruce Allen, the hero of this story, if I could say that, Tobes, once stood in front of an assembled throng of reporters trying to explain the current state of the union and why things were so bad. He explained to us, it's not that bad, actually. Just give a listen to what he said that time.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
You see that? Now, some people are going to look at the records of teams. Did you win? Did you lose? Bruce was trying to explain, no, you silly. It's not about that. It's about the little ones. So I ask you, 800-636-1067, tell us how you are winning off the field. Tobes, you want to start us off? You want to show the people how it's done? Give them an example?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have a great one for this week. It's been kind of a weird week.
Sure, yeah.
GP still on vacation.
Yep.
Get to hang out with my good bud Danny Rouye.
Oh, it's me.
At Tap Sports Bar.
Yeah.
And watch some college basketball while hanging out with you guys. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I see what you did there. You kind of tied it to the current situation.
And dear everyone, right? I mean, talk you up, talk all the fans up, talk all the listeners up. That's how it's done right there.
I've got one, but Corporate Claire just texted me. And that's very rare that he would use his company phone to send a text message to me. Darius, do you mind? Do you want to go full intro for Corporate Clary here, just so he can give us his winning off the field? So we'll take our time. I'm vamping here until the music plays.
I will say Corporate Clary is running the board as of this moment, and will say as a corporate guy, I am slacking and don't necessarily know where my own music is. So I will admit that. So that's losing off the field. Unfortunately, we do not have that. But I do have a winning off the field for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he doesn't have access to the music, or he doesn't want it played. And it's a big corporate conspiracy. So, Ryan, I'll allow you the floor. How are you winning off the field, sir?
So, the girlfriend and I, we had some plans tonight. I was going to make some dinner, and we're going to watch some college basketball. She has no interest in the college basketball, but I do. I told her this is a big thing for me. I love it.
She has interest in you, so she'll play along, right?
Of course. And so, I just got a text about 30 minutes ago saying, you know what? Don't make dinner tonight. Let's go pick up sushi. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
There you go. That's how it's done.
I like that.
That's a good corporate, clean, family-friendly example.
Yeah.
That's product synergy. That's all the different buzzwords.
Sushi for college hoops is a little bit of an interesting play, but I kind of like it.
Walk me through that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Why, though? You know what I mean? I get what you're saying, but why?
I kind of want something that's a little more fried.
Yep.
Makes me feel fat and out of shape.
Yep.
Which I am, by the way.
Right.
It just makes me feel comforted. And not to say that sushi doesn't do that, because I'm a big sushi fan, but sushi's like a conversation food. Something that I'm hanging out. I don't want to talk while I'm watching.
Oh, yeah. It's like, have you tried this? Is the salmon?
I don't want to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. I just want to eat it. I want to stuff my face with wings and nachos and chips and all that stuff while I'm watching hoops. But I kind of like the play, Danny.
Let's talk about sushi super quick. I can't do this with Grant because he's a toddler.
It's not chicken tenders. So.
Yeah, right. It's not one of the four things he ate as a six-year-old. Walk me through your sushi. You've got your roll. You got your chopsticks. Sure. You're assembled, ready to go. What happens?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm generally a sashimi over sushi guy. But if we're going with a roll here, I like a nice tuna roll. I go with a spicy tuna roll. I don't need to be too crazy. I don't need any of the wasabi. I don't need any of the ginger, any of that stuff. Mm. We're just very simple. Chopsticks, pick up the roll, dip it in a little soy sauce, straight to mouth.
Are you a small amount of soy sauce guy, or you let it absorb? You know what I'm talking about? When the bottom of the rice
probably
is in there for a 1-1,000, a 2-1,000.
Somewhere in between. I'm not like barely tapping it in there, but I'm also not letting it soak. Somewhere in between.
You ever do the wasabi mixed in with the soy sauce? You ever just stir it up, steer it up? You ever do that?
I have not, but it sounds like a great play.
It's a play. I don't want to say it's what playmakers do, but a little bit.
Players, you know, making plays? Yeah,
playmakers will do that. I'll give you a winning off the field, and it goes a little something like this. I had a salad earlier, and I've said it now enough times that I believe my wife knows that I had a salad.
Sure.
So the whole point of having a salad, the whole point of being vegan, the whole point of doing CrossFit is so that you can tell people that that's what you do or have done or continue to do or whatever. So I had the salad. It's a salad. Just is, right? It's fine. But I had it. And I'm going to get the credit for having it. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And that's how we do it.
I love this comment that we got on our YouTube stream here. Jay Plott said that he was going to guess that Clary's was that he found a bottle of cleaner in the store that no one had used and he took it.
Well, we can't do that when I already found a cleaner here, and I'm still borrowing it till this day, actually.
It remains in the borrowed. By the way, when is the office clean going to happen? Is it when everybody finally comes back into the office? Are you going to do the thing where you clean up every room, as you promised?
Well, I feel like everybody getting sick, maybe he should have already cleaned the office.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal, the amount of sickness. Yeah, I had a bit planned where we have some of that green Myers at home, which was the subject of all this that he stole from the station. And I was like, you know, I'm going to plan a sting operation where I'm just going to bring it in and, like, leave it out and see if anybody takes it. You know, or, like, attach a wiretap to it or something like that. But, yeah, appreciate that. That's how we went off the field, people. That's how we do it together. I want you guys to win, speaking of that, some Nats tickets. We'll do that in 6 minutes here on The Fan. It's Beltway Blitz time, and then your chance to win Nats opening day tickets next on The Fan.